This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Smart Choice Windows and More Studios, we're in them. Rodney McLeod, he's in them. He joins us right now. Hello, Rodney.
What's going on?
I missed you last week.
Did you?
Yeah, hell yeah, I did. Why wouldn't I miss you last week?
I don't know. I just asked, did you?
I did.
That's a fair question.
Our Tuesdays feel incomplete your wife, without you.
You know when you leave for a good period of time and your wife, you come back and you're like, I miss you.
Like, I think she says that just because she has to. She feels like she's obligated to. At least my wife. I'm not sure
I'm
about yours or Tony.
When we say it, and then they're like, did you really? What's your response?
Yeah, I did. I did. I'd rather be with her than Tone.
We got a chance to meet her at your lovely event.
I'm talking about my wife. Now, you didn't meet my wife.
No, I haven't seen
his wife.
Actually, I just saw your
wife. You saw my wife on Black Friday. What are you talking about?
You know, it's great for the holidays, for everybody and their significant others to get together.
Yeah. Now, yeah, you guys did meet my wife. And we greatly appreciate you guys for coming out.
The hell with us. I thought it was a great thing that you did. Yeah. And I love that community over there. I know the high school principal over there, the good doctor. I think that it is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful football team. It was good to see. Did you meet that quarterback they have?
I didn't. I did not.
He has an arm like a cannon.
Okay.
That kid can spin it.
He's got a future.
And I swear to God, he was carrying the turkeys. And did you ever see Dazed and Confused?
No.
Okay, so Dazed and Confused, there's that scene where that old man goes up to Randall Pinkfloyd. About 2,000 yards in this arm coming up. Got to go out and get a win. Looking good, looking tough. Like, I immediately started into old man mode going, oh, this arm, you got another year, right? Another year, right, buddy? Yeah, he's a good one there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a nice thing, and you guys are fine folks. I was so amazed at the gravitational pull that Jameis Winston had.
Right.
'Cause I've seen him in locker rooms, and I've seen him on TV, and he was with the Shop with the Pro event yesterday and things like that. I'd never seen it live.
Yeah.
And just the way that people just flocked to him. And I go, he could run for mayor today and win.
Yeah.
Like holding babies, taking pictures with them, kissing babies, elderly women.
Or
that
he can lead a mega church. I mean,
he can do whatever he wanted.
Yeah. Nah, the world is his, honestly. he just has that effect. You know, it's just in him. And you guys saw it on full display. It was, to me, it's also very amazing just to see how much of an impact he can have, not only in the locker room, but in society and to let's be honest, like strangers,
yeah.
You know, first encounters, you know, just to have that effect. So Man, it's always good to have J-Mo in the building. His presence is paramount.
So we have some. I have something I want you to hear because there was a conversation that we had yesterday during Fix My Life, and it was about Wyatt Teller. And 6 and 7 over there was about Wyatt Teller and his significant other and the not such a good time, not such good hospitality that was given over at Acrisure Stadium over there. Here's Wyatt when answering the questions about how he understands how opposing fan bases act.
Yeah, they were being rough, but I will say, you know, they can say whatever they want. You know, they can, as long as they don't put their hands on a woman or crazy expose themselves or, you know, spit on my wife, you can say whatever you want. You got to understand when you're in a hostile environment like that, what you're going to get.
He actually went a little bit further into detail. Here's Wyatt a little bit more.
This rivalry goes back way too long to be like, oh, you're just the Wyatt. It doesn't matter. I hate you, right? And, you know, I pray that our fans are a little better, but I know that Dog Pound can get a little rowdy. You know, I'm not naive to the fact that this rivalry goes so far back that, you know, you got to understand that it's hostile out there.
All right, so, Roddy, when you hear his wife, I guess it was not a necessarily pleasurable experience, going on the road, hostile territory, and obviously Pittsburgh fans were out for blood after they had to see their team go down in prime time a couple weeks before. Have you ever had this happen with your wife? Do you ever have reservations about, you know, having your family at some of these road games?
Yes, my wife does has attended a lot of away games over the course of my career. My family in general, you know, so they're not strangers to, let's say, these environments. I think the biggest thing, yes, that is a worry, I think, of all players, especially us husbands, right? When your wife now is saying, hey, you know, I want to go to Cleveland versus, you know, Pittsburgh game. And what you have to know is, yeah, it is going to be a hostile environment. And at the end of the day, I know my wife, she's a competitor. She's somebody that really enjoys the game. Same thing that I've noticed from, you know, Carly is somebody that understands football, is a huge supporter of their husbands, and hey, is going to maybe talk trash themselves, right? And from my interactions and hearing my wife after games, she's like, yeah, like, you know, there was, you know, us some jawing, but it was always playful. It's never kind of taking the wrong turn. I would say somebody in my family personally where it's gone, it's gotten a little, I guess, created some tension in the stands is my grandmother. She's a very religious cheer. She's a person that is going to chant touchdown from play one to play 60. During timeouts, it doesn't matter. She's going to do it. That's just a passion that lives inside of her. And so, you know, we've had some issues with fans, and that's where, you know, some other family members step in and you know, bring to attention that, look, this is an older woman. She just loves the game of football, and it's all love. But
yeah, you yelled elderly women up.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, people, and that's what people do. And so it doesn't surprise me. I heard a lot of things going on at that Steelers game, unfortunately. We were on the wrong side of it. I wish we were on the right side where Carly was able to, you know, say what she wanted and give those fans peace of her mind. But they did the opposite because we were on the losing side.
I mean, honestly, everybody can do as they wish.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to a Steelers game that was not a Cleveland Browns game, and I didn't wear anything at all. I don't know if I mentioned the Rob Lowe picture of him wearing the NFL hat. That's basically how I went to that game. Mm. And they lost that game, so yeah. I was happy about that. But I just can't see myself as a grown man going to Pittsburgh even and wearing a Browns jersey during that game. Sitting in a section I would sit in, like their equivalent of 537, I just don't think I would. I don't think I'd do it. I can't imagine I would encourage Liz to come with me.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen.
No, you got to just be mindful in how you cheer. It, you know, that you have to be a little probably reserved in the way that you chant. Maybe you start off early, you know, very quiet till it gets, you know, to a point where it's intense. But yeah, I think understanding the environment that you're going into, understanding the rivalry that is that has been placed on this game, really determines how you show up and cheer as a family member of a player. And, you know, I was talking before we got on set, and, you know, being in Philly, and that Philly-Dallas game is probably equivalent to Cleveland Steelers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to know whether you're in Philly or whether you're Dallas, like you said, like, man, you might want to keep the jersey on tuck, maybe wear a pair of socks to represent your team, to be honest, because fans gets ruthless.
Like, I think that, like, again, you played in Philly, so you know, like, I think a lot of Philly fans are like, well, I didn't ask you to come here. You came here on your own accord, yeah. So you're going to deal with it.
And I'm going to deal, yeah, exactly.
And while that's, I can't condone that behavior, I imagine that's exactly how they feel. Is there places on the road, like if you play the Raiders in Oakland? I don't think it's that way anymore. I really think it's a giant vacation destination now, unfortunately, for the classic Raiders.
There's some safe zones.
Yeah, but like, If I played for anybody, do I really want to? You know, I can take my wife and make sure she's in a area that is going to be cut off from other people. I can try to. But like, if it's like Cousin Jimmy, I can't make sure he's at all these things, or he can be in not general pop in all these things. So it's like, hey man, I don't know if I would go to the game in Oakland. Yeah. I don't know if I would go to the game in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and be anywhere near the upper deck on those situations.
Yeah.
Rodney, is it any of the fans' business or media's business what a player does when it comes to rehab and whether they're around the football team? Because it's coming up that the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, who has been injured, looked to be in Florida, looked to be enjoying himself, while we're also watching last night Dak Prescott is at the Cowboys game. He's been on crutches. He's been going to each and every game. Is it any of our business, you know, how those that we feel represent the team, how they behave and where they're at?
Honestly, it's totally up to the player where they choose to rehab, to be quite honest. Like, there is no contract or stipulations that you have to rehab at the facility or rehab even in the city that you play in. You have to do what is best for your well-being and for your future of football. And I don't really think I understood that early on when I experienced my first, season-ending injury, ACL, the year after we won the Super Bowl. You know, you kind of get into this mindset of, man, I think I have to, like, kind of stick around and be here in order to rehab. But, you know, over time and, you know, talking to other guys, and you'll see, oh, wow, like, you know, why aren't they here? Oh, well, they're at a facility in Dallas, or they're in a facility in California, or they went to this surgeon. They need to stay there for a significant amount of time in order to make sure that everything is kind of moving fluidly in the early stages of rehab, and maybe later on get back. And then there's always touch points, you know, along the way with the team, whether you come in or it's arranged. So at the end of the day, like, players make their own decision on what they feel is best for them.
Do you think optics should ever factor into any of this? I mean, Deshaun's a captain, right? And so he's somebody who has the biggest contract in NFL history, most guaranteed money, and all those things that fans bring up all the time. In the end, can you ever worry about optics? Can you ever worry about, you know, what people are saying about a given situation?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's everybody's going to have an opinion on what they feel is best. But at the end of the day, you know, is it about the look or is it about the final results? And I think it would, for me, it's about the end results. If you're telling me this is my future, this is how I can, you know, provide for my family and do best for what's for the team, is me being my best self, and putting me being my best self maybe is rehabbing outside of what people feel should be right. And, you know, I think you just have to live with whatever a player decides.
All right, you got four more weeks to go in your football career.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, that's it, because we've been talking to people who are close to you, and we've been talking to you.
What? You guys know something I don't know.
I mean, it's up there.
Wait, you're about to give me, you're about to give me a... you got the scoop?
You still can move 34. Say it's like August 17th next year. Someone calls you.
Did we get Rodney's GPS tracking?
Oh yeah. Do we need to get Tony Romo to find it?
Tony Romo was talking about this as evidence that you guys are not
still playing hard.
Yeah, that you're not giving up. That some of the fastest GPS tracking numbers came in.
You ran fast.
You're looking at the GPS numbers.
We're looking for a lot of things.
I still want to know. Who you talk to some of my people?
Yeah, actually,
some leaks.
I will say we pressured some of your people into going, Why can't he just consider? Because, I mean, Rodney, you're still playing at a high level now. Like, I'm gonna use some names here, and whatever. I'm done pussyfooting around it. Here we go. Like, Andrew Sendejo is here. Do you remember Andrew?
Yeah,
Sendejo?
That's my guy. Dejo.
Okay, well,
played with him in Philly.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but the fans here were not fans of him. Because it wasn't like he wasn't trying, Rodney. He was just out of gas.
Mm.
There was nothing left in the tank.
Mm.
God bless him. But the fans, they did not care. He was out there on the field, and if he was out there on the field, he was fair game.
Yeah.
And they went after Andrew Sendejo daily to the point where I got frustrated. I go, guys, what do you want me to tell you? He's not a good football player anymore. We all know this. Why do I got to sit here and rip on Andrew Sendejo all day long? It's the same thing I do with a lot of things. I just get to a point where it's like, yeah, we all know. I can only say so much. Is it where you don't want to become that? Because I watch you now, there's something left in the tank. It might be a quarter of a tank left, but there's something left in the tank at 34 years old. Yeah, pointing out, I would hate to see another team do without a veteran safety who knows where to line guys up, knows where to put people, knows
Ken's
where
trying
to put
to get
himself.
A finder's fee.
Yeah. I'm not trying to find it. I'm not his agent.
I appreciate the praise, but the body... It doesn't correlate with what you're saying. Like, I think it's reached this point in time.
But we have hyperbaric chambers now. We have altitude rooms. We made a big deal about the altitude room.
Yeah, there's only so much that could do. You know, you got to get through. We're talking, you know, OTAs, training camp. 17 weeks.
You're
plus,
a veteran.
No, you
get to skip all that stuff.
Other guys got to go through that.
Plus the player. But there's still a training element to that, right? To make sure that your body is equipped, is ready, is in tip-top shape to be able to go out here and compete versus these 22-year-old, you know, young men coming out, GPS numbers, 23 miles per hour that I got to sit there and cover. Man, that's tough.
I just want you to leave the door open. I want you to leave the door open. I'm begging you to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm at peace with where I'm at with these, unfortunately, four left. But that's what we're guaranteed, and you know, I'm gonna max it out.
All right, Rodney McLeod in studio with us. So we have been talking over the last few weeks. Is there going to become time when it's, hey, let's get the younger guys up. Let's see what other guys can do. DTR has been brought up because Jameis has been, for the most part, I think he has reinvigorated the offense. There have obviously been mistakes there as well, but you're getting a chance to evaluate a lot of guys. So when you hear us talking about, hey, get the younger guys up, obviously you're not one of the younger guys. How does that make
What does
you,
that mean for me?
Yeah. And what does it mean when a team starts to kind of shift where winning isn't necessarily the top priority anymore?
You know, those are obviously decisions that, you know, are out of my control. And all I could do is do what I'm asked to do, play my role accordingly. But I think at the same time, being around this business for.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or, you know, as long as I have, you know, you see that teams do go in that direction towards the end of the season, depending on, you know, their record. And it gives, you know, them a chance, like you said, to look into the future a little bit, to evaluate some of the current talent that they have in preparation for the offseason moves that they have to make, whether they're going to inquire new guys, whether they're going to draft a particular player in that position group. They want to see what exactly they have, whether or not what they believe is true, or whether, again, what they're seeing is false, and they need to make the necessary adjustments. So it is, you know, unfortunate if you are in those positions where, yes, your reps are now lessened because of this. But that is just a part of ball and being a part of this industry.
Ryan McLeod joining us in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. So at this record, not a good record. At this point of year, it's been not the type of year we wanted it to be. Several people advocate for tanking. It's a T word I've been teasing the whole morning. What do you as a veteran say to tanking? And then I got other questions for you about that word. But first off, the T word, the dreaded word. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I play to win. And I think, you know, for any player that plays this game and has integrity and respect for it, you know, they would say the same thing, that that's not something that we as players, you know, stand by. For us, there's a lot that goes into this sport. There's a lot that goes into playing on Sundays and showing up. And, you know, we don't do it in order to go out there and just lose, quite frankly. You know, I think our everyone's intentions are always to win because of what we put in and then that feeling that you receive, you know, after it. So, again, I've never been in that situation where I think I've had to, like, question whether or not the organization, the coach, the players were acting in that way in order to get the results of a loss. And I pray that I'm not, you know, a part of that, you know, over the course of this month. You know, my goal is to win all four games. And I think every player in this locker room will also say that as well from our seats. And I just hope that, again, you know, that happens. And I'm entrusting that it will.
Have other friends or teammates or anything like that, former teammates, have they ever discussed with you that they thought there was a possibility of their team trying to, quote-unquote, tank it out over your years in the league?
I feel like there were, like, speculations. I mean, there's always speculations. You know, let's be real. Every single year, there is maybe one or two teams where, you know, you get into that conversation. That's a hot talk in the media about it. And I can't recall which team, you know, in recent years there was, you know, some talks about it. But, yeah, it happens. And like I said, I've been fortunate enough not to be a part of it. And I haven't, one, been on a winning record every single year of my career. But I would say that we fought to the very end, and we always went in with the intentions to win. And that's how I felt. I didn't feel like there was anything intentional done about it in order to, you know, get a better draft pick.
Outside of players, I mean, players, there's no reason. There's, and I got, years ago when the Browns started going 1-15, 0-16, there was a knockdown dragout that we had had within shows myself where nobody wanted to get what I was saying about it. I was very frustrated because I'm going, no, the players are not tanking. They're not out there walking around. We did have one, to be honest with you, Anthony. Like he caught here, got paid, and then started walking around on defense, especially that game against the Giants. He's a linebacker. Anyway, I didn't think players were going to just start walking around and losing games on purpose. And it became a big argument. But I would feel that coaches and even general managers and front office people, I feel they'd be a little bit worried about that. Like, ultimately, you got to do what the owner tells you to do. But I'd be worried about that because, it's going to end up throwing dirt on my name if I can't see it through. And guys used to become general managers at different places over the course. I mean, Ernie Accorsi, I think, was a GM 3 different times in his career. I don't know if that really happens anymore. I think guys, they get their name attached to losing, and owners don't want that because they know their fans don't want that and the architects of these things. Mm-hmm. If I only had one shot to be a general manager, I just don't think I could do it. I don't think I could ultimately tear down on purpose. I could understand that we might have a rough season here and we need to build, but I would ultimately be trying to build instead of, hey, let's go and get a decent draft pick and go ahead and do this, because I think one of the worst kept secrets in the NFL that people still don't realize is that players hate the draft. Once you're drafted, you hate the draft. You don't want to talk about it. You want to see it. Like Lyman brought it up, like there were situations before where Lyman was going to do like watch parties with players, and the players did not want to show up. The one did, and the other one went there kicking and screaming. Like, mm-hmm. They don't like it. Mm-hmm. They don't care for this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that, to your point, like, it's true. Like, I look at it as a sign of disrespect to like everybody around that has, put their sweat into the season. And, you got coaches who are staying up late nights, players unlogged hours, trainers, everybody's involved. Like, everybody's signature is on this season, the game in particular, and you got to do right by them. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I would stand. I'm in agreement with you. If I was, mm-hmm. A GM, someone in that position, I would find myself, man, just doing what's right and standing on integrity, standing on business. Like, man, we're here to win, because there is some good that comes of that, right? Like, you want your team to know what winning feels like. Even if you say, man, we lost 10 straight, but we finished off the season, 7 games. Like, there's a lot that you can build on going into the offseason off of that feeling. And you're encouraged by that. So that's where I'm always like, on the up and up. Can't tear.
Well, how could you not be? You got 4 games left. And I think that I would have to imagine it's been annoying to you in the past. Once you hit 30, I think that you deal with 22-year-olds who don't understand how fleeting this thing is. I imagine you've seen a lot of idiots come and go over your court. I'm not just talking about the Browns or anything. I'm talking about your entire, 13 years, 12 years or 13 years?
13.
13 years. I imagine you've come across some idiots who don't get it and don't realize that it's not going to happen for you next year. This is it. Mm-hmm. If you don't do what you need to do, you are not going to be picked up next year. This is a team that's not going to reach its goal. And especially even if it's a team that's trying to reach its goal, it's like you're not going to be a part of this.
Yeah. Now, you have to just remind everybody, what they're playing for. And, it may no longer be the trophy that we all set out to do, but you're playing now for your next year. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. Whether it's with the team that you're currently on or it's with someone else, but as long as that tape is running, it counts. And nobody's looking. It doesn't say, okay, play 38, game number 16. The Cleveland Browns were out of playoffs. They don't, like, nobody cares about that. They just see, look, let's play 38. Like, what do you look like right now? You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. it will say even more once they figure out, okay, the condition of the team, the state of the team. Oh, okay, they weren't necessarily in playoff contentions, but oh, this person, like, I could stand on his character.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we've been speculating on whether Bill Belichick taking over North Carolina's program would be realistic. Belichick yesterday on Pat McAfee confirming his talks with UNC and explaining what a Belichick-led Tar Heel program would look like.
Let me put this in capital letters. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level and an education that would get the players ready for their career after football, whether that was the end of their college career or at the end of their pro career. But it would be, you know, geared toward developing the player, time management, you know, discipline, structure and all that, that would be life skills, regardless of whether in the NFL or in somewhere in business. And, you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League, whether good enough or not. I don't know, but they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that.
I think you people are full of crap. I think it'd be great as a college coach. I will fight it all damn day long.
I think that sounds...
Let's go.
He took the fun out of the NFL. Now he's going to take the fun out of college. Roddy, would you play for Bill Belichick if that was the pitch?
That's the most I've heard him talking. Like, how many years was he?
It's been a long time.
NFL coach. Sound like an audition right there. That, hey, if UNC doesn't want me, somebody else, you know, hey, this is what I have to offer. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm going to do. But I think if you were a college like player, I mean, I would. He just said it. He's got connections. It's the pathway. I mean, you do good. There's a high chance, high probability you're going to end up in the league. And teams, NFL teams like that. They like knowing that you were groomed. You come from NFL systems. You're fully capable. You have the capacity. Now the fun part. He might have to hire somebody else to create that fun environment that
not
we're
Josh
all
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels will make it fun. No. Make it a lot of fun.
but yeah, I mean, shoot, if I'm a college player, I'm definitely looking at Belichick.
Thank you. Because they look at me like I'm the biggest idiot in the world. And somebody's like, well, he's not going to go into anybody's house and recruit. I go, he ain't going to have to.
Yeah.
If UNC, that does have rich boosters, it is a well-to-do school, if they are willing to pay the fiddler and help out the football program, like people are going, Ken Urban. Like he's going, Ken Urban got out of coaching. Saban. I go, these guys are going away from a situation they are not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. He has dealt with a players association for 40 years, both as an assistant, as a head coach twice, and a guy who's been the de facto general manager for 20 of the 24 years, apparently, when he was with the New England Patriots. Yeah. So now you're going into a situation, you have A, unlimited draft picks because of recruiting, you have a transfer portal, you have no salary cap, the only salary that you have to deal with is the NIL of what you have, and if they're going to bring you in, they have to be serious about the NIL situation. I don't think he's going to win a national championship at UNC if he were to become the UNC head coach. I think he's looking for the power that he's always desired. He is not going to get into the NFL because he's too damn old, and you can't give him all that power because of his age, because he doesn't answer for any of it, because you might have to move on in 4 years. But a place like UNC, he can be given all the power. I don't know about this whole business of just making his son the head coach and waiting. I don't know about that, even though it seems players love him. They say it all over the place. They love Stephen Belichick. But my thought is, if your goal is to make the playoffs and win the ACC, which you basically have to win the ACC to make the playoffs for UNC, mm-hmm. he could do that. Mm-hmm. I think he could do that, Rodney.
Yeah, I think he has a fair chance.
Disagree with him. It's so easy to call me names. Disagree with him.
No, I think
my Cavaliers coming away.
I think Rodney is the type of guy who would run over to sign up for play for Bill Belichick. I think there's a bunch of guys that this sounds like not a lot of fun. And, you know, there are other guys that just have a track record.
Money ain't fun.
But this is something they just have to take his word for it, that he's never done this at the college level. So I do understand somebody like Rodney, it does sound appealing for. I wonder if in reality this is a pitch that works. Now, I do want to ask Rodney quickly.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz, is he going over the fake slide with Patrick Mahomes? Because it's one of the dastardly moves in all of football. They try to do everything they can to protect these quarterbacks. Then you have someone who manipulates the rules to their advantage, like this Patrick Mahomes fella. Have you guys gone over it this week?
We haven't started. Yesterday was a recap of the game. So I'm sure starting tomorrow, first day, that'll be on the notes, and probably show a couple clips of that and how we have to obviously play through the whistle to a degree and make sure that we do what's appropriate, because to your point, you know, he is using it to his advantage.
Yeah, you can call him a cheater. It's okay.
Have you seen any of the videos of Dylan Raiola on the sidelines basically acting like Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Okay, I have something to show you afterwards, because I realize we're at the end of the show and I could trap you into saying some sort of quote-unquote bulletin board material. It is my opinion. It's getting a little odd. Do you share that opinion, Owen, as a Chiefs fan?
As the as Cleveland's foremost Chiefs fan, yes. It's very odd.
It's getting a little... He's signing autographs on Sunday night on the sidelines wearing a Chiefs jacket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. At first, it was like,
fully embrace.
He's a child. It's cute. And I'm like, well, you've been through your first college season now. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to forge your own path there, young man.
Do you care if Taylor Swift attends this football game?
To me, it doesn't matter, but...
Does your wife care?
No.
Is there more pressure to perform in front of Taylor Swift?
No. But I know there'll be a large fan base showing up to the stadium, outside the stadium, watching the game. So we're going to give them a show. Concert, if you didn't know, this Sunday in Cleveland. She gives her tour dates out.
It'd be a hell of a... Boy, there are like a lot on the secondary market. If they found out that Taylor Swift was actually going to be at this game, how much would that crowd change?
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Be a little different.
It would be a different crowd.
Guys, I'm doing a market watch. We can't have that happen.
We're going to have to.
Tickets, yeah.
Might want to get in early. Because if someone says she's going to be there.
It's Sunday? On Sunday?
Yeah.
I thought she already announced that a long time ago.
No. Oh. She might be here with her boyfriend. Who plays for the Chiefs? She might be in the stands, or not in the stands. She wouldn't. No, ain't gonna put,
no.
No, that's, she's not gonna no, sit
sweet,
by me.
Sweet life.
537.
It's one of the most wealthy, most powerful.
She's not
on
gonna
Earth.
Sit in the dog pound.
No,
big fan.
That's not. No. I don't know why I'm acting so appalled by your question. Our podcast coming up after the show. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the Free Odyssey app. 10:15 Eastern. I want to argue about the Belichick thing, and amongst others. Ken Carmen for Tone, for Mitch, for Owen, for Rodney, for the slippery wizard Anthony Lyme, even though I already said for Tone, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Bye-bye.